I so fight, St. Paul tells us in the epistle, not as at an uncertainty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A Catholic today, the few who are left, is not all doom and gloom, however, living in yesterday, licking his wounds. No, he's too busy working today. Go you also into my vineyard, building something which will last, maybe a wall, but something worth the effort. A Catholic today is an athlete in training, focused, single-minded. He's a fighter who doesn't waste his efforts or pull his punches. See the Una Cum article in today's bulletin for our answer to Francis and compromising Catholics. No, we don't live in the past, but we remember its lessons. Compromisers are always consumed. But we are grateful for present graces. It's true, the choir just sang the Schola beautifully, the introit, circum dederunt me. The sorrows of death surrounded me, we sing as the Mass starts. The sorrows of hell encompassed me. In my affliction, I called upon the Lord. This Mass today was composed during the barbarian invasions, maybe the 6th or the early 7th century. Many people in Europe are living through that again. Thank God we have been spared thus far. But look how the introit ends. He heard my voice from his holy temple. That would be here at church. And the Lord is my firmament and my refuge and my deliverer. How many times has he delivered us and we've never given him the glory of it or even our thanks? Christmas 1989. The Soviet Union dissolved. The long prayed for end of the persecution of the church in Russia came. The Holy Father Pius XI set the Leonine prayers for that intention in 1930. And ever since then, we prayed for that grace. But how curious it is that most Catholics go on still today saying those same prayers for that same intention, as though God had not heard our prayer. Curious, because there are so many intentions for which we need to pray today. It's not necessary for us to live in the past. Talk about a defeatist attitude. Why pray? But what about the unexpected, almost unprayed for victories which are granted us? Who would have thought 1 year ago that we would be delivered from the one-worlders? They're not happy, nor should they be. And to think that America is inspiring people throughout the world to piety, to true patriotism, to the love of their land. And they throw that right in the face of the globalist conspiracy. Well, have you ever thanked God for this? Do you pray for your country? But if the relief given us in November was remarkable, just when hell and the person of Hillary was closing in on us, so now their revenge strident, their propaganda united, their voice non-stop, and they will not stop until they have destroyed us, both church and country. You know it is so, and swept out any lingering remnants of Christianity or of the natural law which are left. No time for us to take anything for granted. Are you a latecomer? Usually the 9 o'clock crowd's pretty good. The latecomers head towards the later masses. But if you are, there's a word for you in the epistle, in the gospel today, and it's a positive one in a sense. That is to say, in the epistle, well, there's a warning. You see, the Corinthians were getting into a kind of a proto-Calvinism. They were thinking that because they had the true faith, that would mean they were among the elect. Their salvation was assured. And St. Paul wants to say, it's never too late to be damned. And in the gospel, our Lord wants to say to the Gentiles, it's never too late to be saved. It's time, friends. Go you also into my vineyard. It is never too late, but we live in the present. The purple today preaches that Lent looms. In just 2 weeks, this should be sending us off to training, spring camp, as it were. Today's Catholic is an athlete. We'll take the pagan part away and keep that if you want to. But we want to take a page from them anyway. Today's Catholics are athletes who are winners. Trump would like that. We're boxers. We're runners. And we're not afraid of a hard day's work. We're laborers. But most of all, we've got to be fighters. This is no time for snowflakes, for softies, pajama boys, with their safe places to de-stress and their Play-Doh. Those millennials who were raised on a strict diet of entitlement by their parents. Everybody's a winner just for showing up. How do you think that would work at the particular judgment? A Catholic is a fighter. He will not give up. He will not give an inch. It's not his to give away. A conservative will, just a little bit at a time, if you ask him politely, or if the courts pass a new law, but not a Catholic. He's fighting for his faith, and he's also fighting for his family. I mean, God's family, the church, and terribly, he is fighting for his eternal salvation. In many days, it just doesn't look good, does it? But we Catholics, I mean the true kind, who do not know compromise, who do not give quarter, we have as well a secret weapon from Scripture. A woman whom Solomon sees, terrible as a battle-arrayed army, all ready to go for the victory. We love her, Our Lady, and we honor her here, and we always have, I think we can say, as much as we are able. I got a curious letter, an anonymous letter, last month. I don't generally read them. I sort of scan them, and if I don't see a signature, I check it out, because usually it's some cowardly attack on somebody or another. But I read the letter because it had a surprising suggestion. the writer spoke about your, maybe that's why I didn't sign it, your slackening devotion, the people at St. Gertrude. And I thought, well, no, that's an interesting analysis. He attributes it to a lack of confidence. Don't know about that. But in any case, he lost me when he went on to say, well, the reason for that is that we don't teach or encourage devotion to Mary here, and that for us she is as a treasure left unclaimed. I pray it may not be so. People are all the time leaving St. Gertrude, and there's always a little list of grievances. Remember once I told you about a lady 7-8 years ago, maybe longer, who left the church because we had too much of the Blessed Virgin. God will be the judge of such things, but my writer is probably right because, as the saints say, De Maria numquam satis, of Mary there is never enough. In any case, the writer concludes by urging us to make our Blessed Mother our own, at least for a year. Well, you do lack confidence after all, so I'm not going to push it too much, but I thought it might be more modest for this Fatima centennial anniversary to do it at least for a Lent, 40 days with Mary. Would that fit you? We will dedicate this coming Lent to Our Lady. I'm still haunted by that idea of our common, our Blessed Mother. She wants us to keep her company, that's all, by means of making reparation to her heart. Who does anymore? So on Sundays, I thought we would continue our study of the Catechism and our Catholic practices, but with her and for her, because remember, through Mary, Jesus comes, and she is the surest, the shortest, the swiftest, and the sweetest way to our Lord. So we'll look at the five we spoke of last week, five. There's going to be three doctrines to study, and then there'll be two devotional practices meant to mark a Catholic's life. The doctrine of the Immaculate Conception, Mary's perpetual virginity, and her motherhood, both human and divine, and then the duty we have to honor Our Lady in her images, pictures, statues, and also of inculcating devotion for Mary in the little ones. In a word, true Catholic education. For the rest, it's Lent, so there'll be many masses and sermons, and our specialty, lots of recollections, the Friday evening of recollection we always do with a meal in between. And then there'll be a Wednesday, there is each Lent, set aside for just children, a children's recollection day. And then we have one on a Saturday for altar boys. And if anyone is still not recollected enough, you just let me know, and I'll give a Saturday while we're at it for adults. But most of all, this request, keep me company. You know, when Our Lady came back from Calvary, she walked it over again that night, and then the next day. And every day that she lived in Jerusalem with St. John now, they walked together the Dolorosa Via, the sorrowful way, the first way of the cross. I've been doing it lately, but especially this year, I do want to stress the way of the cross as a way of keeping Mary company, to inculcate love for Mary in the hearts of little ones. So we'll have stations on Wednesday and on afternoon, the children's stations, and then again Friday evening. But sometimes those are sparsely attended anymore. And the devout who used to always attend, well, they're in nursing homes now or the cemetery. Chicum dederunt me, the sorrows of death surround me. But we don't live in the past. We look
the future
with our children. Now, at St. Gertrude, because God has blessed us with vocations, you know, we do try to offer on a good Sunday that one-stop shopping, because you are all so busy in our modern world. So I thought I would ask our good catechism teachers to end the class just a few minutes early on the Sundays of Lent, and to have everyone just sort of march right back into church at 11:15, and we would do an extremely short form of the stations, just enough to give the children a sense of what it is to make the stations, and to make them, of course, with Mary. A Catholic today is the Septuagesima. We started out as workers, as focused athletes, and as fighters. But at the end of the day, we want to go gently with the little, the innocent ones. What could be more Catholic than that? We don't live in the past. Today, we want to have an eye on tomorrow. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.